getting better, they getting worse. Feel the curse, not just the verse, but hoping truth gets dispersed. Spend thousands of dollars on a purse, only to quickly get outdated and faded, feeling jaded, about to burst. Honesty is cause the years are feeling insignificant. Too legit to quit and always ragging on the president. I'm hesitant, but heaven sent to bring light to the darkness. Sometimes can be discouraged, but focus on the harvest. The hardest part is to guard your heart. Can't trust in our own wisdom, cause it's tainted from the start. We fallen, we fail, miss the mark, hands were nailed. Blinded by sin, the whole world should be reading in braille. But we prevail and yet continue to live in ignorance. Always having the answers, fighting depression with stimulants. When will we as a society reach sobriety? Focusing on IEDs, but don't even know RIDs. Distracted by the bling and the rings, all these things. Selling our souls to accomplish all our dreams. Huh, it seems, huh, that maybe this world can't fulfill my deepest desires, but that's all you know, so still. You're running drugs, running sex, running people, and think that they will fill the empty void, yet the pleasure is gone in a blink of your eyes. Don't be surprised, we all going insane. We repeat the cycle daily, and yet nothing ever changes. Sometimes we brain dead, knowing what we should do, yet ignoring it for pages of the latest self-help book. For my self-help looks like I ain't got a clue in the world my self-help shook. But it's all good, I just ignore my problems and assume I'm misunderstood. So you grind, you hustle, get to the top of your class. Make more money than others and do your best to make it last. You a king in your own mind. Death is coming and you wish that you had more time. But death waits for no man, no man. And don't care about your plans, because death is out of your hands. But that ain't the end of the story, cause there's glory to reveal. You're hungry for the truth, so I come to offer a meal. Everyone always looks at teachers, cause we gotta learn. It's your turn to follow the teacher who grades on the curve. Cause the test we all failed, but he took the penalty for all of us with three nails. Males and females, this the story that we tell. Free of charge so you can't find it in no retail. The truth to the matter is this proof on the platter. Death or life, it's time to choose the latter. Life is freely given to those willing to receive. We broke the law of God, so Jesus the Christ came to bleed. See, when you break the law, you gotta pay your fine. But God's law is so important that it will cost your life. See, we deserve to die, we deserve to rot. And it's all our fault cause we know what's calling the shots. No one deserves heaven, even on your best day. But Jesus did it all, we gotta say yes to the sensei. We do things his way and we see God on our side. When we're filled with God's spirit, depression has to hide. So more than just entertainment, you gotta learn today that you must repent, and that means that you must turn away from your evil ways, from the things that God don't want. And when you feel God's love, you will have no need to flaunt. So the choice is yours, tell me which one will you choose. Jesus has his arms wide open, we call that good news. The family of God is open to you on one condition. Surrender your heart to Jesus, cause it's time to transition.
Good afternoon, good afternoon to our radio listeners. This is your train conductor, D. Smith, with 3T Radio. Yes, we are back live. We took a two-week hiatus, but we are back and better than ever. So I want to thank all of our radio listeners for tuning in. I am so excited, as I am every week when we do this show. The guest today, I'm just so on fire for the guest that's going to be on today. We have two dynamic people that are going to be a part of the 3T Radio. So I want you to really make sure that you tune in. Before we bring our guests on, I want to kind of do a little housekeeping to our listeners. I want to make sure that you know that you can access the show through the internet, and you can go right to our website, www.teen-train.org. We have a direct link to the show, so you can access the show that way. You can also call in and just listen, and that number is 805-399-1000, and the access code is 7696-08#, and that's just so that you can hear. But we welcome people to actively participate in our show. And so we have a call-in number also, and that number is 888-429-5471. But these numbers are also available on our radio link, So when you go there, you can see this, and please call in. We really encourage people to call in and be a part of the show, because our guest today, you know, he's full of wisdom. This brother's doing some dynamic things, and we'd like for the parents to call in and ask him questions, students that may be challenging, being challenged in their academics, particularly in the area of math. We want you to call in, because our guest today, Mr. Eric Hendricks, he is the man when it comes to this subject area. But I wanted to also remind everybody that today, July the 20th, at 4 p.m., we have our Teen Train Family Skate Night. And it's actually not a night event, but, you know, it's going to be at 4 o'clock, and it's at the Lombard Roller Rink. And that address is 201 West 22nd Street, and that's Lombard, Illinois. You can go online to the website to purchase your tickets so that when you get there, you can just come right in, or you could purchase at the door. And the cost is $15. And that's it's a fundraiser, so, you know, everything we're doing to try to bring money into the organization so that we can continue to do these type of programs and impact our young people in a positive way so that we can provide some great options for them. So wanted to put that out there. Also, we have our second annual Black Tie Gala, which is scheduled to take place Saturday, August the 3rd. And that's going to be a dynamite event. Parents, please support that. Get on board. And, you know, my guest today, we're going to touch on some of these things because he's playing an active role in so many things that's going on. And so what I want to do without further ado, I want to bring on my main man, Professor, Dr. Mr. Eric Hendricks. Mr. Hendricks, what's up, big man?
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Smith? Good to be a part of the program, man.
Hey, brother, it is an honor for me, you know, to have you on the show. Mr. Hendricks, I got a lot of respect for you, Doc. I've said this to you face-to-face, and I said before all of our radio listeners, man, I've admired you from afar, brother. You're just your how you are very intentional about doing things, man, to impact and impart into this generation of young people. So, Mr. Hendricks, I was looking at your bio, man. Your bio is dynamite. What I'd like for you to do is kind of personalize your bio for our listeners so that people can know the man behind the name. See, we know Mr. Hendricks, but tell us a little bit about Mr. Hendricks as you've already laid it out in your bio, sir.
Well, as far as my upbringing and so forth, just to talk about myself personally, I was raised in a variety of different places. Born in Louisiana, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, raised as a young child on the west and south sides of Chicago, up until probably about first grade or so. My parents really had the vision to take me out of some negative environments as far as schools and so forth, so eventually they moved me to some schools in the western suburbs where I'd have maybe a little bit better of an opportunity to be competitive and so forth.
Okay.
My formative years, I spent a lot of time in Milwaukee. Went to suburban schools in Wisconsin, and ultimately ended up at the University of Wisconsin at Milwaukee, where I got a mechanical engineering degree.
Wow.
And, really began to initially have a professional career in the area of not education, but engineering, mechanical engineering. Didn't find it completely fulfilling. I wasn't particularly passionate about it.
Okay.
And after about 3-4 years, really got hooked on education.
Yeah. Wow, that's quite interesting, Mr. Hendricks. And I, and for our listeners, you know, both parents and youth, if you were really tuning in to what Mr. Hendricks was saying, you know, he went after the engineering thing, and, you know, and obviously he succeeded in that because he obtained a degree, but then he realized that wasn't an area that he was very passionate about. And so he, along that journey, found that passion, which was education. So is it safe to say, Mr. Hendricks, it's okay to start out one way and end up another way?
Well, it's okay. Not only is it okay, it's if you feel like the Lord is leading you in a certain area,
mm-hmm.
You should not conform to what others have laid out for you. You should not Listen to your friends or even your mom and dad. I mean, certainly they provide you direction.
Amen.
And you should honor your mom and your dad. But if you feel like the Lord is really leading you to be in a certain area, I'd say follow your heart. Definitely Amen. Receive sound wisdom and counsel. I'm not
yes.
saying don't do that. But sometimes you can listen to your friends more than you listen to your heart. So
yep.
I think I did that at first. I had an incredible upbringing. The most influential people in my life were my grandfather, who was not a formally educated man. He was just an incredible reader of from history to math to psychology to philosophy. He's an incredible learned man.
Wow.
Not too many men in this world I respect more. But he was an incredible impact on my life, and he wanted me to be an engineer, and
okay.
and I listened to him, certainly my granddad was a wonderful impact on me, and I thank God for him. But my mom, she was another influential person in my life, but these people helped form me, mold me into the person I am now. So I'm a blessed man.
That's awesome. That's awesome, Mr. Hendricks. You know, young people don't get it twisted what Mr. Hendricks was saying when he told you, you know, follow your heart, you know, don't listen to the peers. And then he even made a comment about even the parents. He's not, you know, hear what the man was saying. He said, still honor your parents. They're there to guide you. So don't shut them down. So I want to make sure you all understand that piece.
Absolutely.
But he was key about what God has put in your heart, because the thing about it, God has put something in every last one of us to do. And the parents are here to shape and to mold, like the scripture talks about. The kid is like that arrow that's put in that bow. And then the parent is supposed to be intentional about, you know, sending them in that direction that you know, of calling. So Mr. Hendricks is so on point with that. And, you know, one of the things he said that made me think about growing up as a kid myself, Mr. Hendricks, I'm glad I didn't listen to my uncle. You know, my parents died when I was a kid. My uncle, you know, he kind of shunned me from going to college, man. You know, he told me, don't do that stuff. That's not what, you know, black kids do. This is what he told me. Now, we not talking about it in the 60s, man. We not talking about the 40s or the 50s. We talking about the 80s. We talking about the early 90s, okay? You know, he telling me, don't do this. And then he told me, just become a graveyard digger, man. Brother, I'm so glad I didn't listen to him. You know what I mean? Here I am trying to be among the living. He trying to put me in the place of the dead, Doc. So I appreciate what you were saying, Mr. Hendricks, that, you know, what's in your heart, that's what you go after. And that kind of leads us up to the next question I have for you, Mr. Hendricks, because you talked about passion and that you did not necessarily have that passion for engineering, but for education you did. Can you talk a little bit more about that, Mr. Hendricks? Because for our parents and for our youth, I don't say this lightly. I have so much respect for this brother. You know, he's not just talking this thing. He walks it. He lives it. You know, everything I observe about this brother, when he is in tune to something, he is in tune to it, and he does not waste time. So, Mr. Hendricks, talk a little bit about this passion thing, and why is this so important in the life of a person?
Before I talk about passion, I really want to be maybe a little bit more transparent. My experiences in everything I say from this point forward is not said from a standpoint of inferiority or some kind of complex that would indicate that I am, I feel I'm not satisfied with where God has me.
Yes, sir.
But I had a challenging time in school, particularly in college. It was not an easy experience for me. It was a very, very demanding curriculum, engineering, and one of the reasons why I think that I'm as passionate as I am working with young people in the areas of math and science is because of my own challenges. Some
wow.
of the experiences that I had as a young man, your
yeah.
story was your uncle, and, you know, your uncle said do this, and it wasn't wasn't the will of God that you do that.
Right. And, absolutely not, Doc.
for me, man, I'm telling you, it was a little bit different. You know, I wanted to do certain things, and people in authority rather than, Dr. So-and-so. You know, I'm not talking about some person who you wouldn't have a high regard for, but, you know, not necessarily the most positive things to say. Mm. And, I guess I say all that to say some of my passion comes from the fact that I want to not only say the right things to young people, but be in a position where I position myself to know without a shadow of a doubt I can not only say do this, but I can assist them.
Wow.
And push them and position them by the Spirit of God to know what to say to them that would almost guarantee their success in the areas of math and science. One of the brothers who, I tell you, it was a documentary about a gentleman by the name of Jaime Escalante.
Okay.
Hispanic gentleman out of Los Angeles, the Los Angeles area, the worst area of the Los Angeles area, neighborhood, deteriorating schools, just in terms of motivating children. The children were unmotivated. But this man, in the midst of a chaotic situation, he taught these children to dominate calculus.
Wow.
These children dominated the subject so strong, he worked with them so diligently that there's an AP exam that the students took, and the students did so well on the AP exam that people who graded the test, they looked at the scores of the children, then they looked at the neighborhoods where the children came from, and they disallowed all the scores. The kids dominated the material so strong that the people who issued the test said there's no way in the world that these kids could have legitimately done this work. Couldn't have happened.
Wow.
So they disallowed the scores. The children completely dominated the work. The people made them take the test again, and they did better the second time.
Wow. And you attribute that to what, Mr. Hendricks?
Well, I attribute that to the passion that this man had, the love that he had for the children, the expectation that he had on the kids, knowing that they could do it, and just the commitment, just a a determination, and a love for the kids that they're trying to get the best from them. But you talk about what has helped me with the passion. This is one of the things, along with being dissatisfied with the current situation some of our young people find them in as far as schools, and just believing that there's a better way. A desire to see all children successful in not only math but science and history and English and every other subject that they encounter.
Wow, man, that's good, man. That is absolutely awesome. And you know, I really believe, Mr. Hendricks, what you just shared about just even your personal journey, you know, having gone this route with the engineering and had some challenges, it stirred something up on the inside of you. You know, it was a similar situation for myself, and I'm pretty sure our listeners can relate to personal situations that may have happened in their own lives where you encountered an obstacle or maybe somebody said something that wasn't quite what you felt about yourself. And then it fueled something on the inside of you to say, not only am I going to do well, but I'm going to dominate. You know what I mean? And that's
exactly.
That's one of the reasons why I do what I do, because growing up on the west side of Chicago, you know, parents dying when I was a kid, you know, not having those resources around and being really the first one. My oldest sister, she went to a junior college in the city, but I was the first to go to a university. And so I had no examples, man. And so for me, you know, to step outside of the realm of what was familiar, you know, it took courage, and that's in alignment with what you're talking about. You know, not only being passionate, but having the courage to go after that which you're passionate about. Wouldn't you say, Mr. Hendricks?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that, as I work with other colleagues and so forth, you know, having the courage to pursue your dreams, even as a grown man, I've got to have the courage to pursue, you know, there's life after college. There's life after your first job, your second.
Yeah.
You still have to have the courage to continue to motivate yourself, continue to push yourself, continue to read the Word of God as it pertains to, you know, renewing your mind to God's plan for you.
Yeah.
And a lot of times God's plans for you are bigger than your plans for you. So there's always the need for courage and faith and determination.
Yeah.
So these are some of the skills that we're trying to teach young people, not just to get through high school and college and so forth, but as foundational things that are necessary for life, especially if you plan to do God's will for your life.
Yeah, that's powerful. That's powerful, Eric, what you're saying. And you know, it's pretty obvious to our listeners, but if they don't know, I'm about to help you understand. Brother Eric, he's a man of God. He's a Christian, a man of faith, and a man of high competence and skill. Mr. Hendricks, as a Christian educator, what do you think are some of the challenges that our young people are facing today in the realm of education, just in your opinion? And, you know, just kind of speak to that a little bit.
Well, we could really talk a long time about some of the challenges. I've been teaching in Chicago for going on 15 years now. And I have some wonderful, wonderful experiences, I tell you.
Yes,
I love what I do. As far as some of the challenges, I'm very, very, I really analyze the adults. Sometimes I think when a child fails, the attention is put on the child. What did the child do wrong?
Right.
What did this child, what's the problem with the child? I put a lot of attention to the adults.
Yes, sir.
Sort of a very much a holistic conflict we have here.
Mm.
I believe that from an educational standpoint, teachers, you mentioned competence. Teachers have to be incredibly competent. They
yes,
have
sir.
To know their subject matter. They must really, really know their subject matter 3 to 4, almost 5 years beyond the particular course they're teaching. They've got
wow.
to have a mastery of that subject.
Mm.
I mean, how can you teach a child when you don't really know where they're headed beyond your class?
Wow.
How are you able to direct them, counsel them, and tell them to look out for this or that or whatever? The second thing, in my view, that teachers must be able to do, they must have a passion. They must have a love of the subject in which they are teaching. They've got to be willing to do more than what's expected with regard to working with that child.
Wow.
They've got to do more than what's expected. If the child doesn't understand, they got to be willing to stay after school happily. They've got to
yes,
be
sir.
Willing to really want to invest into the child. They got to be able to see that child 4 or 5 years from now as a,
wow.
as a person who's mastered the subject that you're trying to communicate to them. And then thirdly, to me, the thing that is critical that the children must have in terms of leaders who are being put in front of them is they've got to have the ability to connect with the child. They've
yes,
got
sir.
To have that something, whether it be humor, whether it be just an incredible command of their subject, or whether it just be pure anointing and love. They've got to be able to connect with that child
wow.
so that when they speak, that child will listen to them, and they'll listen to every word they say. And without these, from my standpoint, without the professionalism, obviously you got to have the professionalism. You got to me, it's a ministry. You got to have this ministry anointing in the classroom. I'm talking. I'm not talking about church.
That's right.
You gotta have these things. And when these things are missing, there's a break. There's
yes.
a break in this learning process. Yeah, you smart, but they're not listening to you.
Right.
or. They're listening to you, you funny, but you don't have the substance and the content that would cause them to dominate whatever you're trying to say.
Wow.
You gotta have a complete package.
You gotta have a complete package. Wow.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Brother Smith.
No, you go ahead. I'm just getting excited for more, man. I'm listening to you.
You gotta have these things And so my focus a lot of times when I talk about education and the challenges of our children, a lot of the initial things that I'm talking about is the adults.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about the adults. I'm talking about the institutions where they are. Now, are there other things? Obviously, the home situations, the expectations that we as adults, you mentioned your uncle, the adult, the authority figure,
yes,
in
sir.
The house at that time. You know, what we got to have adults who are speaking into the lives of the children. Hey, you can do well in this area, and you will do well in this area if you got to go that way. But the expectations from home and school, I believe personally, and I stand by this, I don't believe that we as a people truly understand what excellence in education is.
Wow.
I believe we want a good education for our children.
Yes, sir.
We want the best for our children, but if we ourselves have not in our own personal lives experienced that, we won't necessarily know it if we see it, or we won't, even if we don't see it, we won't know it. I don't think we really truly know what excellence in education really is.
Wow, Brother Hendricks, you laying that thing down, Doc. Keep going.
And I feel like one of the things I really want to do, I'm passionate to do, is assist young people in getting a better idea of what true excellence in my area, the maths and the sciences, of what it really is, what it means to dominate. I mean, not just in terms of just talking, but in terms of results. Our children are challenged in so many areas. You know, do we really prioritize education in the community? Do we really? I mean, we say we do, but is it within the fabric of our lives? Is it the most important thing next to our spirituality and next to the love of our family? Is it education?
Yeah,
brother, I don't think it is.
You know, Hendricks, you said something that was so powerful, man. I mean, everything you're saying is so good, man. You know, brother, we're going to need a few shows to really lay this thing all the way out, because I see you really starting to warm up, man. But let me you know, you talked about that holistic piece, and really, I really believe that's it right there, Brother Eric. You know, we tap in a little bit here, a little bit over there, but we're not addressing the whole thing. So when you talk about that, those challenges, you know, I too understand what you're saying as a school counselor. You know, I'm seeing, you know, this whole piece, because I'm dealing with the social emotional piece, and I know all of it really kind of flows together, because of a kid not feeling good, they got some stuff going on in their home life that's going to impact their learning, their ability to focus, concentrate, so on and so forth. But you said something that I thought was key, that the teacher or the authority figure or whomever the person may be that's standing in front of them, they must first dominate in order to teach domination.
Absolutely.
Man,
you know, I have to, as an instructor, I have to always continue to be learning. There's no such thing as a... you know, that if the teacher's learning is stagnant, they'll get bored with their own subject. I mean, a lot of times instructors, we teach the same thing year after year. Well, hey, that can get old. That can get boring. It can get stale. And if it's stale to you, it'll be stale to the young person.
Wow.
So we as instructors and teachers have to continually be, as other professions, as other professions develop professionally, we too as instructors, if for no other reason, just to have more information to communicate and share with our students.
You know what, brother? You're so on the money with this. And parents, I hope you are really taking notes on what is being said, because the next thing that I want Mr. Hendricks to talk about, and it was the perfect backdrop, he is not only an educator, he's not only a mentor, he's not only an advocate for change and passionate about what he does, he's an entrepreneur. So, Brother Eric, talk about your business. I mean, you're a man of God. You're a man of faith. You're a praying man. I've heard you pray. You dominate when you, man, you dominate in everything you do, Doc. I mean, come on, man.
Well,
your mic don't
have
nothing on you. Eric, you know what I mean? Mike, don't got nothing on you, brother.
Before I talk about my business, man, I really want to, I want to challenge the young people, too. You know, I really lean on the adults because I believe the children follow our leadership. I really believe that.
Yes, sir.
But even young people need to be challenged, too. They need to listen to their teacher. They need to no goofing around in class. Young people need to do their homework. Young people need to ask more questions. Young people need to come after school more. This is a holistic. It took a number of years to get us in this situation. It's going to take a number of years to get us out. But young people need to be held accountable. If they're not doing right, there need to be systems in place where we address that too.
Yes,
so,
sir.
You know, I really wanted to say that before, I really talk about my business, which I, too, am very, very passionate about. The name of my business is called Students Dominate Math. right now we're in our formative stages. But the vision that God has put in my heart is to, I'm a math teacher, so that's what I feel most comfortable with.
Yes,
but
sir.
What it is, it's a tutoring business, and as I get deeper into it, what it's going to also be is it's going to complement what's happening in the schools. I believe that our young people are being challenged, so we've got to have the tutoring piece. But at the same time, the vision that I have is to really get students to dominate math. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to complement what they're learning at the school with a different curriculum. We've got to ramp up the things that they're learning at the school so that when they graduate from school, regardless of where they're coming from, they will have everything that they need in terms of content, in terms of the things that they know so that they can perform at a very high level regardless the institution. So we tutor in algebra, geometry, all the way up to calculus, and I work with the students on a daily basis. My model is to work with the students and the parents.
Yes, sir.
When I'm tutoring, the parent is right there. They're watching everything we're talking about. They're watching how I'm trying to motivate, inspire the child. I'm trying to, really, my ultimate goal is to assist children operate at the highest level and, dominate tests, standardized tests. And if you give me time, brother, I'd love to talk about how some of my students that I have currently how they performing, because I'm not just talking. I don't believe
we
can talk a good game. It's very easy to talk a good game and take some nice pictures and some photo ops and post them. But this has always, for me, been about results.
Oh, absolutely.
Always been about results.
And that's the bottom line, Brother Hendricks, because there's so many organizations, there are so many people, there are so many scams out here, if you will, where, people have they got that facade, man. I mean, it looks good, and it's luring, and it's attractive to the parent. And the truth of the matter is folk are taking advantage of people. Parents truly, and you know this as an educator, I know this as a counselor, they want the best for their kids. They really do. But you said sometimes they don't know the best. Sometimes that lack of knowledge and understanding is not quite there. And that's why it's so important to have people like yourself, Mr. Hendricks, at the forefront, because not only are you competent and you're passionate, you are transparent about this thing. You like you tell the students, I'm not playing. You're not playing with this thing, Doc. And so I think when parents encounter you and they talk to you, they feel your heart. They see what's happening, and they understand that you're not only delivering information, but you're providing options. And that's what people need. They need to know, okay, here's the what. Okay, now check this out. So what? And check this out now. Now what? Okay, you done told me what. So what? Now that I know about it, now what do we do about it? Right, Mr. Hendricks?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, like you were saying, the we've got some excellent parents. You know, a lot of our children, as you look at the statistics with the public school system, a lot of the students are either at or below poverty level.
Yep.
So you got people who are really doing the best they can. So I'm not knocking. I'm not knocking these efforts. Believe
yes,
me.
Sir.
One of the things, you know, but I feel strongly we don't know what excellence is.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing that you know, our pastor, he says it like this. You know, a lot of times we so provision minded. We about getting the food on the table. We about going to work, getting paid so we can put clothes on the kids' back, that we forget details which are necessary for domination.
Wow.
And that's one of the things that I believe my organization, Students Dominate Math, is going to be able to assist parents in reprioritizing and establishing this book culture of learning and prioritizing. And again, the word I love, man, is completely dominating academics.
I love it, man. Complete collective
domination. It's a beautiful thing, man. I've seen it.
I know that's right. Well, I know not only do you see it, Doc, you command it and you demonstrate it first. And so that makes it something that's achievable, you know, attainable for the kids. You know, too often, something else you said, Brother Eric, that I thought was key. That rapport with the kid, you know what I mean? Having that connection, a relationship. You know, you and I work together, and we've worked together for the past 2 years in our summer program, and I've seen how you built those relationships with these kids so that when you're talking about stepping outside a realm of what they may have come to know or have experienced, they know because of their connection with you they can go there. And not only can they go there, you're taking them there.
Yeah.
That's good,
yeah,
man.
You know, that's love. You know, that's love.
Yes,
and,
it is.
You know, we talked about some of my past experiences. I've come from a perspective not everything hasn't been necessarily easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even to this day, I study. I study a lot. So sometimes I use that to my benefit when I've got this child that's challenged. I don't come from a perspective, oh, you don't understand that, man. We talked about that. So and so, so forth, really condemning the child, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Oh man, and the thing I discovered that if the children who understand, the students understand, and they watch you how you attack or address the one that's struggling, they are watching you.
Yes, sir.
They see, okay, how is he gonna handle this student that is challenged?
Right.
And then when they observe that you care. And when they observe that you take the time out and observe that that investment is yielding, that that child is understanding, my experience has been they watch that and they respond to that. Not necessarily how you responded to them, because they got it already.
Yes, sir.
But they respect the fact that you care about that one who's struggling. And
man.
I'm telling you, man, that has helped me a lot, too.
Now, that's key, Eric, because now we're talking about safety. You know what I mean? I know this personally myself as a kid that struggled in certain subject areas. I was scared. I was scared to even make that known, Doc. And I mean that right there is the biggest trap that our young people fall into too often, Doc. You know, they're afraid, and this is what you said. How did that teacher respond to the other kid who may have a similar challenge? That's going to determine if I decide I want to put my head on the chopping block. And before I put myself out there and get embarrassed or, you know, be added to this whole fiasco that's taking place, let me just be safe. I'll take the F. And, you know, that happens. You know what I mean? That happens. And that's a disservice not only to the child but to the entire household, our community, our families.
Well, you know, one of the things that that I try to do in my classroom, and I have students of varied abilities, excuse me. I've got students who they struggle with math. My trigonometry class, they struggle with math. Math is not simple to them. My calculus class, some of the students, they don't find math particularly challenging at all. But in all my classes, what I try to do is I try to lay a foundation of great love,
wow,
of great respect. Mm. I tried the first week or so, they're trying to feel me out, you know, and I try to lay that foundation of, hey, I care about you. I truly want you to be the absolute best.
Wow.
You are the best, and we are going to expect that from you. If you have a question, that's okay. We'll answer all your questions, but it takes some time for some of the students to lay that, for that foundation to be laid, because of past experience, because of different challenges, you know, things that other adults may have said or done, or just no past history of success. But
wow,
but once that is laid, once it is incredibly clear,
yep,
that you will be respected in the class, that you will learn in the class, it's been my experience that fear is dissipated.
Yes,
that
sir.
That fear goes away.
Yeah, that's true, man.
And a quick story. This happened just in the program this summer. This happened. The young lady was struggling. She struggles in math, and I'm telling you, man, the anointing was strong in the class. The children were doing this. It's something called linear regression, where this is a topic typically talked about in freshman college classes, but our children who are in freshman, ninth, 10th grade, they were doing it, and the emotion was so strong, I just said, hey, this is wonderful. I'm so proud of y'all. Hey, let's just go deeper. Now, who wants to do this problem? And the emotion was so strong, the young lady who struggles, man, she just jumped up and raised her hand. And then when her hand was up, she thought about it again. She's like, oh, wait a minute, what am I doing, man? What am I doing? She put her hand down so fast, man. But see, that fear went away.
Yes. That's key, though, Brother Eric. That is so important. And then that makes the whole experience fun, man. And you know, and I think that's the thing that has happened in the realm of education, too, man. Somewhere we lost the fun aspect of learning. You know, people, they're still kids, you know what I mean? They're still children. And so I think for any parent or even educators that are tuning in to the show, these are some great takeaways in this conversation with Mr. Hendricks. You know, we got to remember that, you know, we got to, you know, maintain that connection, building and continue to you know, expound on the relationship with not only the child but with the parents. You know, involve the parents in that whole learning process. You know, have some fun. Let the kids have fun. Parents at home, you know, let them have fun. But we know we got to regulate everything. But I truly believe, for me, when I began to dominate in my academics, Brother Eric, is when I started having fun. And when I had fun with it, you know, then the toil went away. It's like the fear that you talked about that was gone, because I was now having fun. I was enjoying myself. And I think that's important for us to remember, that as leaders, that even the people that are working with us, we want them to have fun. And so, Mr. Hendricks, I know that with your business, Student Dominate Math, you got a website. You know, you have some really cool things that's going on. Talk about that website for about a minute or so. Let our listeners know something about your website.
Well, the Student Dominate Math, we do have a website, dominatemath.com, and what I have featured on the site are a number of videos where there's a program that I've sort of produced, and a bunch of videos on a variety of different topics ranging from algebra to calculus, where each video is probably about 10, maybe 15 minutes maximum. Well, we're talking about different subjects that, in my mind, students have challenges with. So we provide them with that service where they, if they need immediate help, they click the video, and they can get some help in a particular subject. I also have different testimonials on students that I've helped that are now in college and so forth, parents who I've worked with, mentioning how my services have really assisted them in building the confidence of their child, but more importantly, building their ability to compute and do the work.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a variety of different things. I encourage your listeners to check it out. And, you know, if they need any kind of assistance of any type, in the areas of math, they can call the number that's on the website.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you know what, to our listening audience, you know, Mr. Hendricks, his bio is actually archived on the radio show as well, so you can go in and you can read up a little bit more about him, but also, you know, go to his website. Say your website again, Eric.
It's dominatemath.com.
Okay, everybody heard that?
Dominatemath.
Dominatemath.com. Go there, check it out. It is an awesome website. I love it. Also, if you go to our Teen Train website, we got a direct link to dominatemath.com because I believe in what my brother is doing. I believe in the gift and the calling that's on him. He's definitely passionate. Brother Eric and I work together, and I know that was God that put us together because I'm looking to always dominate in my area, and then when you hook up with other people that's dominating, man, that's world domination. You know what I mean? We taking over, Doc. And so that's what this whole thing is about. And, you know, Mr. Hendricks and I are actually collaborating on some things as well. Mr. Hendricks, why don't you tell everybody just a couple of the things that you know, you talk a lot about your passion and you know, and you hear it and everybody's getting excited. What, you know, there's some other talents that you have that people may not know about. Why don't you speak about this one in particular that's going to really connect to this gala? Why don't you tell them a little bit about that?
Hey, Brother Smith, are we going to have time for me to brag on my students at all, man? I want to brag on my students.
Yeah, why don't you do that?
I talk about my passions, but can I brag on my students, please?
Yeah. Why not, Doc? Go ahead, because we do got a little extra time, and we got our Louder Than a Bomb segment that's coming up, too, which I'm always excited about.
I'll make this very brief. Brother, our students can dominate.
Yes, sir.
The students, they took the AP exam. They took the AP exam for the last 4 years. The students are averaging a 4 on the AP exam. 5 is the best you can do.
Wow.
Our students are averaging a 4. This past year, the students took not first semester, but second semester calculus. They took the second semester. They're getting college credit while in high school. They are doing college work. Not only doing college work, they dominating college work while in high school. 100%, 100% of the students who took the BC test got a 100 perfect score, 5.
Wow.
That's domination, Eric. and that's what our students are capable of.
Yes, sir.
What they're capable of. Now,
yes,
I just had to get that out, brother. But
no, hey, man, that's good, man. Look, let me tell you something. I want to ask you in front of all our radio listeners, can we get you back on the show, Doc?
Oh, yeah, man. I'd love to be back on the show, man.
Look, we're going to get you back on here again because I just sense in my spirit, I just sense it, man, that we got a sequel here. We got a part 2 and a part 3 going on here. So we're gonna talk about that, Brother Eric, because there's so much more to talk about here. And for our listening audience, one of the things that I want to – who is that? Gotcha. Okay, so what we want to do is this. We're going to set up a time for our people to call in and also – talk to Mr. Hendricks over the radio so that we can move forward. But, Mr. Hendricks, it has been a joy having you on the show. Man, I'm telling you, I'm excited. And as we get ready to part ways, is there one statement maybe you can leave our listening audience with?
Well, just expect the best from our young people. Know what true excellence in education is, and we should not settle for less. Our children are just as gifted and talented as any other child in the world, and we just have to be competent as we work with them. We have to be passionate as we work with them, and we have to connect with them. And with that, along with the anointing, there is no other option for them but to dominate and be successful. There's no other option.
That's right. I love it. Domination. All right. Well, listen up, everybody. That was our man, Eric Hendricks. I promise you, we're going to get him back on the show. Mr. Hendricks, thank you, man. God bless you. Continued success. Look forward to seeing you Monday at work, Doc. And you have a wonderful weekend, my brother, okay?
All right. Thanks for everything, Brother Smith. Thank you for you and your ministry. God bless you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. And to our listening audience, we are about to move into our segment that's called Louder Than a Bomb. And so we're going to go ahead and go ahead and drop that bomb right now. Tierra, you are louder than a bomb, girl, blowing it up out there, getting it done. You know, we had Mr. Hendricks on the show, and he's talking about dominating, but Ms. Simpson, you are dominating. And in this segment, Louder Than a Bomb, this is where we share that. Why don't you tell our listening audience something about yourself? You know, give us your name, you know, the city and state that you come from, and talk to us about your accomplishments.
Okay, absolutely. Well, first of all, my name is Tierra Simpson, coming from Chicago, Illinois. I actually, some of my accomplishments so far is I just completed my second master's degree from National Lewis University in education with a type 3 elementary certification.
Wow.
So, actually going to be starting as a teacher. I've completed the Academy for Urban School Leadership program, so I'll be teaching next year at Lewis School of Excellence, which is one of the new turnaround schools in Chicago. So that's just a little bit about me in terms of my current accomplishments. I'm 22 years old, and I'm just also serving God in the best way I can, especially to benefit the youth, because this generation is in such desperate need of positive change and influence.
Yes, that is so true, Tierra, and I am so godly proud of you and what you're doing. You're truly making noise, and that's what it's about. You know, the media is quick to put the negative stuff out there, and people tend to gravitate toward that, but it's not enough attention on positive things that are happening in the lives of young adults even, you know, and so, you know, you shared out your accomplishments. Tierra, talk about some of the organizations that you are involved in, because not only, you know, Mr. Hendricks was talking earlier about being, you know, whole as a person, as a student, you know, as an individual. I see that with you, because not only are you a Christian and you serving God and you are, you know, pursuing your career goals, but what about some of the organizations that you are a part of that's helping to help shape and form the woman that you are?
Okay, sure, absolutely. Well, of course, I'm affiliated with Teen Train.
All right now. Watch yourself.
Yes, shout out to Teen Train, and yes, I hear that they have a really cool founder as well.
Yeah.
Mr. Smith, of course. And I have been working with the STARS program, which is actually a component of Teen Train that helps to train young individuals and help them to build a career mindset and understand what it's like to actually work in a career and to be in college. So thinking beyond just completing high school, but actually building a life and developing a definition for real success. So that's part of Teen Train and the STARS program. I also work with a group called Pageant Girls for a Cure. Now, a few years ago, I actually used to do a lot of pageantry, and I even won some titles in the National American Miss Pageant System.
But listen, young brothers, not only is she intelligent and on top of her game, but she's pretty.
Thank you. But actually what I do with Pageant Girls for a Cure is that we sponsor a benefit, an annual benefit every year. It's a benefit at a fashion show to help raise proceeds for heart disease awareness.
Oh, wow.
The founder actually has heart disease, has a, I forget the actual name of what she has, but it's actually a form of heart disease. And she definitely is passionate about helping to find a cure and helping to alert women particularly about the effects and the need to make sure that they remain healthy so that they can prevent heart disease in every possible way. So that's Pageant Girls for a Cure. And I also have been affiliated with a group called Guide Right Enterprises. Mm. It's actually stationed in a lot of Chicago public schools. It's a Christian organization where there's actually a young man who's the founder of it, and he's really passionate about implementing different programs for youth after school and on the weekends to really help eliminate crime and gang activity. And it's really the heart of that organization is on the south side of Chicago. So I'll actually be helping them out. They're sponsoring an abstinence walk on August 3rd to help build awareness in the CPS system to actually not just teach safe sex practices and about contraception and all of those subjects, but actually to push abstinence in the CPS school system. And lastly, but certainly not least, I also work with the Go Hard for Christ Youth Ministry at Living Water.
Go Hard?
Go Hard, yes.
That's right. Shout out to Pastor David. Yeah, that's what's up.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So I've been working with them for several years, just really helping to bring the light of God into the life of the lives of youth in the Chicagoland and suburban areas who visit and attend the youth ministry at Living Word. So those are some of the organizations that I'm involved in, the main ones as of right now, and there are other ones as well.
That is good stuff, Tierra. You know, what I love about what you're doing is, you know, it goes right back to what Mr. Hendricks was talking about earlier. You're not just, you know, just in this thing. You are developing yourself in a process of being in it. And I think that's what all of our young people, our parents and everybody we all need to understand that, you know, you don't just arrive at a place. You get there and then you continue to develop and develop and invest in yourself and stay connected in organizations that are doing positive, wonderful things. Because the bottom line, you know, people need to be connected, and they also need opportunity to express themselves and to grow in their learning. So, Tierra, why don't you also share some of your goals? Because, you know, sometimes people, you know, our listening audience have heard some of the things that you've accomplished, and some of them may say, man, she's done a lot at an early age. Well, like Mr. Hendricks said, and like what we've been talking about even now, you know, it doesn't stop there. What are some of your goals moving forward in life? Where do you see yourself in the next, you know, 2 to 3 years?
Well, you know, first, before I even say anything, I just want to give all glory and honor to God, because
I really
wouldn't have any of these accomplishments or any achievements done had it not been for God's plan and purpose for my life and me just accepting it and walking into it. And I just want to send the same message out to our listeners, no matter what age, that if they have goals and if God is tugging on their heart to do something, to go out and really do it. You'll never be successful in anything you do if it's devoid of passion.
Mm.
So I would say go out and pursue the purpose that God has created them for. Now, to get more on a personal level about my goals, like I said, I recently have, I have 1 year of teaching under my belt. So I've recently become certified and everything, and I am pursuing a career as a teacher. I really want to learn how to master my field of education as a teacher. I'll be teaching middle school. So I really want to just develop the experience and the skills necessary in order for me to be considered a master or a highly acclaimed or superior teacher, distinguished teacher, according to our rating system in CPS, the Danielson system. So that's really a goal that I hope to achieve within the next 5 years. And I know with God's grace and hard work, I'll be able to do it.
Absolutely.
But ultimately, I really want to become
an administrator in the school systems, because I believe that that is where you have the voice to really evoke change, positive change, especially in public schools. There's such a need for change to help develop students, not only as learners, not only as good test takers, but to develop them as people and as role models who can actually build up a generation that will help us dominate, to use Mr. Hendricks' famous phrase right there.
That's right.
But really, you know, my heart is for this future generation, and it cries out for the future generation, because I see that there's so much, so many different avenues of negativity for them to fall into. And we need to construct more avenues that are positive for them to be able to walk into, so that they can stay away from the negative ones, that they can even differentiate and identify the difference between the two. So that's why I do want to become an administrator. I hope to go into a Type 75 program to actually have the credentials to become an administrator in a public school system. But I really want to help be the voice to determine the route in which a generation of young people can actually learn, grow, and develop as beings. I believe that that is definitely what will help me be one of the catalysts for change in the educational system, and even bring more of a light that reflects the Word of God to these students who are sewn up in our public school system.
Yep. That's good, Tierra. And I'm just, again, you know, I know you personally. I've seen you over these years, you know, just developing and pursuing your passion. And you know, that word just keeps coming up, because even yesterday, you know, during our Summer Stars program, we take the kids out for field trips. And we heard this organization we visited the other day was called Navistar. And we heard some of the staff people all talk about passion, and that was what kept them there. That was what they couldn't get away from this thing, because they were so passionate about it. They just love what they do because of passion. Mr. Hendricks was talking about passion. You know, I'm hearing passion in your conversation. You know, why don't you kind of really drive that point home to our young people right now? Can you do that for us?
Yes, absolutely. About having passion. Mm-hmm. Well, I would like to start with just a small, like, somewhat anecdotal story from my own life, what even influenced me, or I should say who even influenced me to become an educator and really to help birth the passion in me to help teach children and be a positive light, I would have to say, would be my mom. She was a teacher in the CPS school system Chicago Public School System for over 30 years, and even now to this day, she's still teaching outside of that in suburban systems. But I would just say, watching as I grew up and I watched her, she had such a glow about herself whenever she was up in front of children, giving them materials for life. And I knew that that was what really just drove her to wake up every day and to want to go to work, to give her best, to give her all. It was because she had that light within her. That was her passion.
Yeah.
And I would say, just seeing that, I told myself, I want that same passion. I want to feel as if I am making a difference in someone's life. I want someone to know that I care about them and their well-being and who they're becoming, and to be a part of their learning process. So I would just say that is what helped me develop my passion to actually be in the classroom.
Yes, to actually
be in a classroom setting.
That is powerful.
I was just going to, just finishing up, just to really be beneficial to young people. So I would say that's my personal story of how I developed my passion. And actually doing it. Whenever you're doing something that you really, that the time goes by, you don't have to worry about what you're getting paid or if you're getting paid at all. When you're doing something that you could do it just for the enjoyment, That's when you know you found your passion.
Yep, that's good.
That is what is going to help people sustain jobs and also sustain good health as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are there's a common statistic that says Monday mornings is when a lot of people have heart attacks or
some kind
of cardiac arrest.
Yep.
And it's usually because they do not have the passion for their job.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they had the passion, then their hearts would not be compromised.
That's true.
So,
let me add to that statistic. It's between the hours of 9 and 5. So.
Right. Yep. So those are the work hours.
You know, those are the work hours. You know, going someplace doing something that you absolutely have no passion to do, frustrated, want to get out of, and just, you know, just trying to make it till you make it. And so, now, Tierra, that is so key, everything you shared. You know, I'm so happy to have you on the show. We got to get you back on the show so we could talk a little bit more about some other things, you know, mentoring, being an example, being a woman of God before some of these young ladies. I want to know, can I get you to come back so we could talk about some of those things? Is that a possibility?
Absolutely. I definitely love to reach out to anyone and definitely help them to develop more of an idea of their purpose. Just any way that I would be featured would be great.
Okay, great. Well, we're gonna make that happen. But for our listening audience, Tierra Simpson, she made the Louder Than a Bum segment of the show, and as you all have heard, you know, about her, she is definitely making noise, and we see that the focus of her success is Christ and her being in passion and having those examples before her, such as her mom, and then staying connected to organizations that hold her accountable and keep her well-rounded as a person. So, Tierra, thank you so much for being on the show. We love you. I'm excited to have you connected to Teen Train and just doing the wonderful things that you're doing, girl. You are making noise. So keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you. And just everything back at you. Much love for Teen Train. Much love for you, Mr. Smith. And, you know, I definitely am glad to have been a part.
Well, thank you, Tierra. So to our listening audience, we're going to go to a commercial, and then we're going to come back, and I got a few announcements, and then we'll be wrapping up the show.
Attention all gospel artists, it's your man Black Noise, gospel hip-hop producer from Chicago. If you're looking for some of the hottest beats around, check me out at soundcloud.com/blacknoise. That's BLAQNOYZ. And if you're interested, contact me at twitter.com/blacknoise. BLAQNOYZ. Let's work.
Transition Music Volume 1 with classic tracks like Dream On. Gotta prove something.
I gotta prove something.
And gotta have more.
So I gotta have more.
Download the album for free at jitterproductions.com/transition. That's JITA productions.com/transition. Have you transitioned yet?
Okay, to our listening audience, we're back with 3T Radio. I don't know about you, but I had a great time today with our special guests, Mr. Eric Hendricks and Tierra Simpson in our Louder Than a Bomb segment. One of the things that I want to do as we wrap things up now is I want to really encourage our parents and our students and everyone that's listening to pray for your purpose, pray, seek God for wisdom in terms of direction. Because I believe every person is a success. Success is birthed on the inside of every one of us. And we don't have to accept failure. Nowhere. Nowhere in our lives do we have to accept it. We don't even have to even be average. So strive for the best. Be your best. And if you come up short, at least you gave your best. And so I want to really encourage our young people to really step into this thing. Be courageous. And then I want to remind you that today at 4 o'clock, we have our Teen Train Family Skate event. Again, that's in Lombard, Illinois. And the time is from 4 to 6:30. Make sure you are there. It's going to be a live, happening experience. And you know, and you come out and you have fun, exercise, you burn some calories, and you help to support this great organization. You know, this radio broadcast, is, you know, we need that support to help us out. Also, I want to invite you again to come out to our second annual Black Tie Fundraiser Gala, which is Saturday, August the 3rd at the Clarion Inn. And that's in Elmhurst, Illinois. The address is 933 South Riverside Drive. Or you can go to the website at www.teen-train.org to register. Tell a family member, tell a friend, tell your neighbor, tell everybody to get on the train and ride with us as we are going out to reach our young people, to empower them with vision and purpose through the practical tools of academic enrichment, career education, and leadership mastery. Until next week, this is your train conductor, D. Smith, signing off. God bless you. Stay encouraged and keep walking by faith. Talk to you next week.
Yeah.
This world ain't getting better, they getting worse. Feel the thirst, not just the verse, but hoping truth gets dispersed. Spend thousands of dollars on a purse, only to quickly get outdated and faded, feeling jaded about to burst.